Loving God, that you care for your people, that you change us from the inside out, Lord. And as we come to faith in you, our hearts see more and more outside of ourselves. And Lord, we just pray for a growing love for this community that we're in. Lord, we pray that our hearts would break for the tragedies of the people around us and as things happen. And Lord, that our hearts would soar with rejoicing with our neighbors when things go well. Father, I just pray that we would be more and more involved in this community, Lord, that you would give us new and creative ways of connecting and coming alongside our neighbors and loving them well with your love, Lord. Father, we come now to the time of hearing from you through your word, Lord. And as we come to it, Lord, we ask that you would prepare us for the last in the series, Lord, that we're to hit in the what's the big deal about sin. So, Father, just prepare our hearts for your truth. Lord, speak through me right now. Anything that is of me, I pray, would be left here in this room. And anything that is of you, I pray, Lord, would be taken and stored up and used for your glory in the weeks ahead. So, Father, bless this time. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, it's interesting as you listen to the news, as you read papers, as you hear things, it's even at a time when we've been celebrating Easter and having the holidays, and there's just a reminder of all the stuff that's around us, around the world. And there was a gas attack last week that killed 40 people in the eastern suburbs of Damascus. And women and children and men it's just shocking. It hurts to hear. And in Palestine, 10 were killed in a Gaza protest. In Florida, as we remember a few months ago, a young man killed 17 students and teachers and in a Florida high school. And guys, I could go on and on and on. I looked up at one point a list of the last month, and I was like, that'd take the whole 30 minutes to read the list of the things that have happened. We're surrounded by brokenness, and we live in a very broken world. And the question that I have for us is, how did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get here to where, man, I mean, let's think about it. As we look at all the things that are going on, I mean, I want to kind of do a quick overview of as we've been looking at sin and how it connects with the world and how it's impacted our world. Remember in this series, in week one, we looked at what is sin. And we talked about sin being a failure to conform to the moral law of God and act in attitude and in nature. We also looked at where sin entered humanity through Adam. And last week we looked at how God dealt with sin on the cross. And how he dealt with it once and for all without sacrificing his holiness. But he dealt with sin. And today we want to look at why sin is a part of our world. How we got here. Where this all started. And if you guys remember in Genesis 1:31, it said, and God saw all that he made. Remember, at the end of creation, God saw all that he made. And it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Guys, the sixth day. What a day. What a time. What a time. All of creation is there and it's good. And sometime between Genesis 1:31 and Genesis 3:1, something terrible happened. It says in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The serpent there, that's Satan. And somewhere between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, we see it's not all good. What happened? What happened? We're going to be looking at that. The New Testament speaks of what happened in two places. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says this, "For God did not spare angels when they sinned." You see, God created an angelic force with the a morality about them and an ability to choose right and to choose wrong, similar to us in that way, the ability to choose what's right and wrong. And imagine being one of the angels and being in that special communion with God. But it says here, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned," and how many sinned? We know a third of them sinned. A third sinned. A third chose. "Did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." Jude 6 says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with the everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." Guys, the emphasis from both scriptures here is that they were removed from the glory of God's presence. Imagine being in the presence of God without junk. And think about the glory of the Lord being experienced without any veil, without any brokenness. And they had that. They had a beautiful connection with God in that. And they were moved from the presence of God. And it says here that their activity is restricted. Their activity is restricted. And metaphorically, they are in chains. That they are not able to do all that they want to do. It's a way of saying they can't do everything they want. They are restricted. Their sin was pride, and they refused to accept their assigned role. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, when I read the scripture, I say, that sounds an awful lot like us, doesn't it? It sounds like an awful lot like us. Sin being pride. Sin being pride. And refusing to accept the role that we're given. We don't like to be told what's right and wrong, do we? Parents, how do children do when you tell them don't do something? What's the first thing that's going through their minds? Hey, I hadn't thought of that one. That's a good idea. The greatest way to get somebody to want to do something is say, you can't do this. They put signs in places, and as soon as they put signs in places saying don't do this, people start doing it a lot more than before they put the signs. The best way to get good behavior in public areas is to not put any signs up. Why is that? There's something inside of us that when we hear of restrictions and rules, there's something in us that desires to rebel. Wet paint, don't touch. Is it wet? It's wet. Here, try it. See, it's wet. It says don't touch. Try it. It's wet. There's a need, there's a desire. And we're starting to see where that comes from. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says this, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." You see, a rebellion by an angelic creature of great power and dignity has taken place. He desired to ascend to heaven. He desired to ascend to heaven and to raise his throne above God's throne. that need of pride, that need to be said, I'm the one to be worshipped. And yet in our sin, what are we saying to God? I got this. I want to do things my way. And even as Christians, we struggle with sin every day, don't we? We come to Christ, our sins are forgiven, we're made new, we go from spiritual death to spiritual life, we're connected with our Heavenly Father, we are His children, we are sealed in Him. We have, man, and even with all that, there is something inside of us that desires what we're not supposed to do or what we don't have. Ephesians 6:10 puts it this way. Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take the stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, God is powerful. He is all-powerful. And we're to put on the armor of God. We're to put on His strength and take on His identity in our battles. And the good news is God is good. It's one of the most powerful, huge concepts. It sounds simple. God is good. But the theological truth that comes from the truth, the understanding that comes from God is good is monstrous. Because what happens if God is not good? We're to be mourned as Christians. I mean, we're lost. Everything's in vain. Everything's for nothing. God is good, and it means that everything He's doing is for a plan that is for the betterment of everyone, for all. And so to receive what God has done and to accept Him for being God, man, another thing that we see here is that evil and sin are very real. And we live in a world, guys, where we have said there is no sin, there is no evil. What is important is that you feel good about it. You know, there's no real right and wrong overall. There's no real right and wrong. But man, it's important that it's right for you. So whatever that is, and you know what, we shouldn't judge others. And hey, doesn't it say in the Bible, don't judge? So you know what, don't. And so we can get a little twisted in this mindset of there's no real right and wrong. I mean, as long as you're not really hurting anyone directly, right? And that's really in the eye of the beholder itself. So yeah. If we look around the world today, guys, we don't have to go beyond our back door to see that's a lie. You know, when people talk to me about there being no absolute right or wrong, so, if it becomes personal, we understand right and wrong, don't we? If something evil happens to a child of ours, if something awful happens, we understand right and wrong real quick. If somebody comes at one of my children, I understand right and wrong instantly. And yet, in our desire to sound intellectual and enlightened, we try and just make it all good. Make it all good. But our struggle is very real. But there's something interesting about the struggle. Our struggle is not with each other. Because also, humanity tries to bring in, and the enemy tries to bring in the lie that if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're against me, you're my enemy, and my role is to put you down.
And so on one hand, there's no right and wrong. On the other hand is, if you come at me, you're going to feel the pain. And I am right in bringing that, because it's survival of the fittest. And I'm going to be more fit if you come at me. Sinners are responsible for their sin. As just like us, the angelic beings had a choice. Do you choose to continue on with what God has planned for you? To be in that right relationship, or do you want more? Is God holding out? And a third of the angels said, no, no. I want authority over God. I want to be the one to call the shots. But they are restricted. They are restricted. So what's Satan's overall goal? To advance his kingdom? To extend his sphere of influence? His influence of evil? To live out what he thinks, which is, I'm in charge. And his primary scheme is to distract us from our purpose of sincere devotion to Christ. And to remove us from the battle. Because once we come to faith, we are sealed in our relationship with God by what he's done. We were given not pretty good life, we were given everlasting life. And with that, the enemy can't take that. If it's not just knowing about God, but if it's real salvation, if it's true faith in Jesus Christ, man, now the enemy, what does he have against us? Now the only thing he can do is mislead us, distract us, lie to us, get us going at each other. He doesn't give up. 2 Corinthians 11:3, I don't have this on the overhead, but I wanted to read this to you. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's coming, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, the enemy has no power over taking away our salvation. He can't snatch us out because he wants to. He's not greater than Christ. But he desires to lead us astray from a sincere devotion to Christ, for us to get caught up in this world, of the things of this world. I want to ask this question. Where are you caught up in the things of this world? Because I think it's, if we're all honest, there are, for all of us, areas where we are caught up. And as we deal with this area of sin and really looking at, man, it is a big deal. Sin is a big deal to God. How big a deal? We celebrated last weekend how big a deal it was. We celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sin is such a big deal that God sent his son to die on the cross for our sin, because our sin had to be dealt with. Guys, I want you to think about this. Think of the love a parent has for their child. Think of the love of family. We think of the unity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which we went through in the series on the Trinity, of that beautiful unity. Eternity past, eternity future, in perfect unity. But for 3 days, that unity was broken and destroyed. Why? Because sin is a big deal to God. And guys, I know that our society makes light of sin. I know in our own lives. I know for myself. I can at least speak for myself. I'm too comfortable with sin in my life. Some sin, I don't even notice. Sometimes there's certain sins in my life, selfishness, where I don't even notice that I'm doing it. Where I feel justified in my sin. Not only do I not feel bad, I feel, man, I'm the righteous one. And rather than being righteous, it's self-righteous. But sin is a big deal to God. And therefore, it needs to be a big deal to us. I want to do something. I prepared a few minutes here. I wanted to do something, and it may sound a little strange. We're coming to church. It's the time of the message. And I want us to take a few moments in silence. And I want us to have a few moments of silence before God. And if there is sin that you need to repent of, I want you to take this time to repent of that sin. I also want us to do this during this time. I want us to be real and honest with God. And here's the thing, He's big enough to handle it. I want us to be still before God, quiet, not out loud, just individually between us and God, taking a moment. And if nothing comes to mind, ask God to reveal to you, is there some sin in my life that I need to deal with? Is there something, God, that, I don't know about you, I don't have to pray that prayer. I know exactly what I need to deal with. Because as I think about it, certain things come up to my mind. Some of them are things of old, things that come back, keep coming back. Some of them are new things, new offenses, new challenges, new times where I was selfish and I didn't apologize, new times where I was self-focused and I missed what God had for me. I want us to take a few moments and just be silent before God. And after a little bit of silence, of time, I'll go ahead and pray. But let's take a moment and let's just be quiet before God together, just between you and God. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our sin. Lord, we ask that you would put it in our hearts that we would not be comfortable with sin. Lord, that we would be, Lord, when we see the sin in us, that it would cause a reaction in our minds and hearts, that we would be unsettled by our sin, that we would hate our sin as much as you do. Lord, you love us, but you hate the sin. Father, give us
your love while hating the sin in us. Lord, may we see other people with your love. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Father, we lift up our world right now. There's so many wars. There's so many people being killed. Slavery is alive and well in many countries. Lord, people are being mistreated in so many horrific ways as we speak. Lord, some countries are being forced to worship the leaders of their countries rather than you. Father, there's so much brokenness. There's so much pain. Father, we pray for our country, Lord. It's so divided right now. Brother hating brother. Sister refusing to speak to sister. Issues and ideas separating. Killing love. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our lives, that we would be able to be in the world but not of the world, that we would be able to be a part of what you've called us to do, to get involved in other people's lives in this community, Lord, in our spheres of influence. Lord, to see sin for what it is, to know where it comes from, to know what's going on, and to be a part of what you are doing through your people to bring healing, Lord. We pray that we would be a blessing to many. Lord, I pray that the enemy wouldn't have a foothold in our lives because of sin. A foothold that has become or will become a stronghold. Father, you provided a way for this sin to be dealt with through your Son, Christ. We thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you are preparing a place for us. But right now, we don't want to wait till then to get some things right in our lives. We don't want to be used by your enemy between that time and now. We want to be used by you. We want to be your children who bring honor and glory to you, our Heavenly Father. Show us how to do that, Lord. Show us. Lord, I pray that as we sin, Lord, may this be true. In areas that we've been okay with sin in our lives in the past, Lord, I pray when we sin like that again, something inside of us, it would be a bad taste. It would be a bad thought, that we would not be comfortable with our sin. Father, that we would be horrified by our sin. That we would hate our sin. That we'd realize of what it means and what it meant to you and what it continues to mean. Father, change our minds. And Lord, I pray that this lie that is rampant in our society, in our culture, which is there is no right and wrong, Lord, I pray that that lie would be shown for what it is. I pray more and more we would see people being humbled. Lord, use us in ways to do that. And Lord, we pray that you do what you need to do in our lives to bring about that truth to others. Lord, I pray for our small groups, Lord, that I pray that there would be great healing from sin in these groups of the Bible studies. And as we go through the truth of your word and as sin is confessed to brother and sister, Lord,
as what is done in secret and in the dark is brought into your light, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. Change us from the inside out, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're not done with the message. It feels like it, doesn't it? But we're almost done. But I wanted to, guys, there's something interesting. When you have a time of silence corporately, what do you notice when we first go to being quiet? Anybody have a first thing that they noticed? I noticed the traffic. I was like, okay, God. And I was like, oh, cars. It's like a dog in a sound. Yeah. I said, okay, Lord, let me turn that off. It takes a moment sometimes, doesn't it? It takes a moment. We don't always know how to be silent. Did anybody make it through the whole time without checking your phone? Anybody struggle with that one? There's no football games on, so that made it a little easier. That was good. Guys, in all seriousness, I want to encourage us. And that is, I want to end with this. 1 John 3:8. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil. Sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? I don't want to have my actions be used by the enemy. But I've had times where I have been in my selfishness. And when that happens, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Confess. Confess to God, repent to a brother or sister. Because there's action steps that we need to do. It's not enough to feel bad about our sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was what? To destroy the devil's work. You see, from the very beginning, God had a plan. And part of that plan required freedom of will. Because love is freely given and freely received. Now, it's been a while since I've done this, but this is, to me, is the best picture I have of understanding why you can't force love. So as a father, I can't go to my children, and I can't say, Scott, love me,
okay,
or I'll destroy you. Love me. Love me! Right? You can't force love. Love me or else. You can't force love. God is a loving God. And he's not the forcing. Love me or else. So many of us have the picture of God with a stick in the hand. I know for much of my childhood, that was the picture I had. It was almost like there was a hoping of sin. And that was such a distorted picture I had of God. That is not God. God is good. God is good. And he came to destroy the work of the devil. From before time, he planned how it was going to take place. And he said, I will make a way where there's no way. There's no way we can deal with the sin in our lives. None. There's no way for us to get rid of this sin or to get beyond it, to get to a place where we're so enlightened where we sin no more. But Christ provided a way for us. Do you know Jesus Christ intimately and personally? Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in what he's done and who he is? Do you know him? You see, the truth is here. God's already won. Imagine going up to the plate and the game's over in inning one. See, time is God's creation. God knew from the beginning what was going to happen. He set it up. Is there freedom of will? Yes, but in parameters. Just like, man, I want to say this to end with, and that is, what's the big deal about sin? It had to be dealt with because God is holy. And God dealt with it. It is finished. We can receive what he's done and move forward and experience healing, or we can stay in our sin. And he doesn't force us to choose to love him. But he loves us first. The only way you can truly receive love is by giving love. We love why? Because we were first loved. We don't love God and then, oh, because we love him good enough, he loves us back. No, he loved us. And we get to love him back. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with the Lord? And the last thing I want to say is this. Tonight, whatever you are dealing with God in that time of silence with him, have some extended time with him on it. If you need to talk to somebody, if God put it on your heart, you know what? You sinned against this person. Don't let that go. Here's another thought. If that person is dead, deal with it with God. Because we can be held, the enemy can use that controlling force from the grave on us. But if they're dead, still say, forgive me. If you need to forgive them, forgive them. As sin is so big that it had to be forgiven. And I want to encourage you guys, don't allow the lies of the enemy to take us from what is real, because we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. If there's somebody, that's on your heart, and as I talk about this, your initial response is, yeah, but deal with it before God. Don't justify sin. Forgive and be forgiven and ask for forgiveness. It's a beautiful thing, forgiveness. It's beautiful. And it's only through Christ. Let's close in prayer. God, we come before you now. You know what's on our hearts. You know who we need to forgive. You know who we need to ask for forgiveness from. Lord, I pray that we would have the strength and the courage to do that. Lord, we can forgive because you first forgave us. So we trust you. You have shown us you were without sin, and yet you took on our sin, and yet you forgive us. If you can be mistreated by our sin and still forgive, we can forgive even though we've been mistreated. Lord, I pray that the enemy would have no false counsel in this place right now, Lord. I pray for a spiritual covering that is of you, Lord, that would protect, that you, your Holy Spirit, would protect us right now as we deal with this area. of our sin, the sins of others, and forgiveness. Lord, we pray for life and life to the full, for peace and joy. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be experienced by us, even if our circumstances don't change. Lord, you know us. And we're grateful for that. I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you intimately and personally yet, that they would believe and experience your joy and peace. Lord, bless us this week. Give us new opportunities, Lord. We pray that we would be open to your Holy Spirit to see the opportunities that you are giving us, to live out your love and truth in a broken world. Father, we thank you that sin is a big deal to you and that you provided a way for us to experience healing. Show us, Lord, how to live out that transformation in front of others in ways that will encourage them to turn to you for the same healing. Make us a blessing to many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.